just had the recorder installed by Hui Rong, so we were maybe rebrief the audience again. Tonight is 17th of March, 2020, one day before our historical restriction of movement lockdown for the country, 2 weeks, from 18th of March until 31st of March. So if you are the fortunate one who don't have to work because the government declared 2 weeks, you don't have to go to office. So you can have your own self-retreat. Then for those who just came in, this book, Heart Sutta, second edition, it is available in front of your seat. If you don't have, you can come and collect in front. Then the unique code also, if you have not received them, you can collect from my wife at the back. Then the other thing is also our next 2 Tuesday class will be cancelled because of the lockdown, restriction of movement lockdown. So I believe most of you must have experienced some form of shopping today. A lot of people, after the announcement last night, they were very excited this morning. So everywhere you see people buying up things, but Malaysians are not so bad. We are more disciplined. I didn't see much panic buying, but there are some increase in people trying to stock up things and buy things. You need to stock up a bit, buy a bit. But don't worry, the food can be ordered online. Whatever you want online, they are available. The only thing is you cannot dine in, it seems. The restaurant all don't allow dine in. But you can go there and tapau. If they are open, you can go there and tapau, which is takeaway. So this one will help you in many ways. So don't have to rush. Whatever you need, nowadays there are a lot of apps which you can actually go on and order them. You have Grab online and many other online. So looks like it is not as bad as what people perceive. Two death already. That is only today. So before lockdown, 2, and these 2 are age 34 and 60. And one of them is linked to the Sri Petaling Assembly. That one, it seems, is the pastor in Sarawak. So, have to be careful. That's why we have hand sanitizer for you too. But our group is small, less than 50. So today exempted from the restriction. Then it so happened Yun Chan asked me the night before, the morning yesterday, means yesterday, Sibratio, shall we cancel the class? I said, we need to distribute this Heart Sutta book. I said, this Tuesday on, next 2 week cancel. That's why Yun Chan sent out the notice. So actually, like, we preempt the lockdown. So not too bad an idea. So whatever it is, make sure you have enough provision of food. If you don't have, you can inquire around. Then Kayamita will teach you, send you the WhatsApp, where to get them. But normally, we don't have to eat much. You make sure you have some rice, make some porridge, or fry some bihun. If you don't know how to fry, then learn how to fry. It seems difficult to get egg. Most people cannot get eggs. My wife also tried, cannot get. But never mind. We can sustain ourselves with simple things. But she was lucky. Today she went out. She managed to be the first few customer where the bread arrived. There are only 35. So because Kayamita ordered through her, she managed to get for all of them. So he bought 6. So sometimes it depends on your luck. When Polian texts her, she said, depend on the availability. She did not confirm her, but finally she got it for her too. So these are the things that we have to go through. Yeah, this is part of life. So when you understand, you will know how to accord and flow. Accept the reality of the moment, then be very focused. Just do what you have to do. Don't panic. No need to fear, no need to worry, no need to panic, no need to rush. You just go about doing what is proper. Sanitizer, better use them. it's a good habit. It's a good habit. Because this one can help us learn something which is very useful. Hygiene, personal hygiene is very important. Then apart from personal hygiene, when you protect yourself, you actually protect others. So this should be your mind state, so that you understand, like keeping precept. Not to say we are forced to keep precept. No. Precept is to help you. The Buddha, out of love and compassion for you, advise you, you better keep, otherwise you get into big trouble. And when you keep precept, you create less negativity. The world is also benefiting. That's why when you protect yourself, you protect others. If you harm yourself, you harm others. And also if you break your precept, you actually create a lot of negativity, cause a lot of karmic downfall. Okay, with this we will have our half an hour meditation. We are off the light. Oh, haven't done the chanting, so fast you want to go for meditation. Thank you for reminding me. So we thought we can have more time for meditation. Okay, turn to page 1. Start from Vandana. We will chant the salutation to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, dhammang saranang gacchami, sanghang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapada samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapada samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkhapada samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapada samadhiyami. Sura miraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Now we chant the padipa puja. Gana sarapa dipena dipena tamadangsina tiloka dipang sambuddhang pujayami tamonudang. Ganda sambarayutena dopenahang suganghina Puja ye puja niyang pang, puja bhaja namutamang, vanna ganda guno petang, etang kusuma santatin, puja yami munindasa, siri pada sarorohe, puja mi buddhang kusumena nena, punnena matena cha hotu mokang, pupang milayati yata idang me, kayo tata yati vinasabhavang, adivase tuno bante, paniyang parika pitang, anukampang upadaya, patigan hatu mutamang, adivase tuno bante, pale parika pitang, anukampang upadaya, patigan hatu mutamang, adivase tuno bante, bojana parika pitang, anukampang upadaya, patigan hatu mutamang. Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all the puja offerings. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the dana parami of generosity and the fruit of karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya. Liberation, the bond-free nibbana. Making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, may our spiritual faculties of saddha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened, sharing and transferring merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect, Triple J. Buddhang pujayami. Namang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay, you can be seated. Then we are off the light, yeah? After that, we can have our half an hour of silent awareness meditation, yeah. Yeah, those who haven't have the book can collect them. Huh? Huh? Okay. Yeah. Anybody who hasn't have the book, the Heart Sutra, second edition, or later, you can collect them. Silent awareness meditation is very simple. If you read through the unique Dhamma code, the new book that we gave out a few weeks ago, then you will understand how to develop them. You only need to relax body and mind completely, then silent everything. Don't arise any thought, don't do anything. And maintain awareness. Just be aware. Aware means without thought. The moment you are without thought, you are already aware. But for some of you, your spiritual faculties are not stable. There will be thinking. Thought will arise. Sankara will arise. Never mind. Let it arise. Do not fight it. Do not resist it. Do not develop any aversion towards it. Because if you do that, it becomes mental hindrance, then it will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness and inner awareness. So what you should do is relax body and mind, silence everything and maintain awareness. Then let the thought arise. If you don't give it any more meaning, if you don't resist it or don't force it, or don't focus or concentrate, you just let it be. Then be a silent observer. Silently observe without thought. See what happens. If you are patient, you have the understanding, just relax, maintain awareness. Then that thinking mind or the mundane mind, sankara activity, they will start to slow down. Initially, be patient. It may not happen immediately. But if you allow it to be for a while, maybe after a few minutes, or sometimes it may take up to 5 or 10 minutes, then all of a sudden, your awareness can be aware of that slowing down of the thought process. The thinking has already slowed down. Then all of a sudden it becomes very quiet and very still. When you experience that, that is a sign of good progress. But don't be excited. Allow the silence or that stillness to continue to stabilize. Then maintain silent awareness. Then this mind is actually your true mind, which is your meditative mind. The silent mind without thought is your true mind, your true nature, your self nature. And that is the one that can meditate and develop the understanding. But that one is capable of awareness. So just do that. Relax and maintain awareness. Then after that, whatever happened within your forming mind, where you have a physical body with a 6 sense bases, your ear, your nose, your tongue, your tactile, your eye, your sensation of the body, and finally, your brain. These are the 6 sense doors. Upon contact of mind with the sense data and the sense basis, you find out what happened. According to the Buddha, under his teaching of Paticca-samuppada, upon contact, feeling arise. Find out whether it's true or not. Then based on the physics experiment that I have taught you, upon contact, the light bulb light up. So the lighting up is synonymous do you becoming conscious? If the organ is the eye, then you are conscious of seeing. If the organ is the hearing or the ear, then you are conscious of hearing. Smell, taste, tactile and thought is the same. The respective sense or consciousness will arise with the lighting up. But at the same time, simultaneously, a lot of things happen. Within that contact, if it's ignorant contact, it will have its ignorant ingredient. Then the seven universal will go in. This seven universal, one of them is contact. The other one is feeling. Then upon contact, feeling arises. Then there is also perception. Then there is also manasikara, attention. Then there is also the other related seven universal. So you will see them clearly in your meditation, and you will understand how you function as a human being, how thought arises. Upon contact is actually the pure consciousness. But the moment you input your content or consciousness based on your views, opinion and conditioning or belief system, which is not wisdom, then the content of consciousness will determine the type of thought that arises. So the pure consciousness together with its content become the five aggregate of form and mind, which is your thought process, your mental. That's why within the mental, there are mental intention, chetana, which will determine the type of thought or consciousness it is, whether it's kusala or akusala. Kusala is wholesome, akusala is unwholesome. Before you become enlightened, most of the time is wrong thought. The content of consciousness is with delusion, the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. But once you have straightened your view, developed the understanding of truth, the Dhamma, then you become different. You can arise the right thought, the wholesome thought. Your content of consciousness can be pure, free of the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. That's how you transform. Then you will know how to act according to wisdom, understanding, no more according to your views, opinion and conditioning. Okay, I'll let you develop the meditation on your own. I will ring the bell when the half an hour is up. you can slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness that you have developed. These are the mind states that you need to use them to develop the daily mindfulness. Ultimately, it is the silent mind that can meditate. So you need to realize this silent mind, stabilize it, then develop the daily mindfulness. Whatever mind states that you have developed, especially your inner awareness, inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness, these are the mind states that you need to stabilize your daily mindfulness. So the form of meditation is to train your mind to stabilize this silence, to realize your true mind without thought. Who are you? What are you? Then through this meditation, you will come to understand clearly how things arise. Then through observation of how things arise, you come to understand clearly what this form of mind is all about. Then you indirectly will understand who are you, what are you, and what is that nature which is without thought, without mind, which is the unconditioned, just the pure nature, the pure awareness before the knowing. That is your true mind, that is your true nature, and that is the one you need to understand. Then when you understand that, you will understand that you have two minds. The true nature or the true mind, then from there the mundane mind arise. All things arise because of that mundane mind. So the one that is capable of awareness is the one that will develop the understanding. Where this awareness is beyond thought, beyond mind. That's why this is called awareness-based meditation. It's not thought-based. We are not using thought to meditate. We are relaxed. Then we maintain awareness to let the mundane mind slow down and finally cease to realize that true mind, that pure awareness nature before the knowing, before the arising of thought or sankhara. Tell me. Your seat is still available. Nobody is sitting here. Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay, now we turn to page 6. We will chant the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chiyokawalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Atassa Bhagavato Arahato sama sambuddhasa iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho vijacarana sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Sattā deva manusānaṁ buddho bhagavati Svākāto bhagavata dhammo sandhitiko akāliko ehi pāseko opanayiko pācyātāṁ veditāpo Vinohiti Supatipano Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipano Bhagavato Savakasango Nyayapatipano Bhagavato Savakasango Samichi Patipanno bhagavato savakasango yadidam chatari purisa yukani atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato savakasango ahuneyo pahuneyo Dakineyo Anjali Karaniyo Anutarang Punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu 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 Okay, let's pay respect to Tripaja. Padang Pujayami. Damang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you all can be seated. Yeah. Yeah, put it at the back. It's okay. Okay, just be seated, relax body and mind, then maintain some form of attention. Then we will continue our second session. Before we go to the second session, we have this book, the new book, Heart Sutta, second edition. So this is a very good book. Those who have not got it, you can actually collect a copy from me. It's in front here. Then tonight, maybe I go through a little bit about this book. Why is there a second edition? You turn to the first page. Page 1 is the title, Heart Sutta, Come Meditation Classes, Short Note. These are the short notes compiled from the weekly Sunday Heart Sutta class conducted by me, Brother Teo, at Wuping, Jingse, Mahayana Vihara. Then the first edition was dated 19 February 2015. This is the second edition, dated 8th of March 2020, which was only about a month ago. Scotland, you can have your copy. You look at the table of content. In front, nobody. You can sit here if you want to. The table of content now is a lot clearer. Last time, the table of content, you just have Heart Sutta class. First Heart Sutta class, second, third. But now they got the subheading. So whatever topic that may interest you, you can go zoom into it straight away. Then if you were to go through this entire book, you will develop a lot of understanding of the Buddha Dharma, the teaching of the Buddha. This book actually is very complete. For the sainthood way and the initial introduction to the Bodhisattva way, this book is more than enough. Then if you want to know the higher teaching, the Bodhisattva way, you read the blue book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way. These two books will complement all the understanding that you need. Then there are also the appendix which are very useful. Appendix 1 to 9. You can read through them. They are very important. Maybe I will read to you the introduction first. First edition dated February 2012. Oh, it should be 2015. How come it's 2012? Never mind. I think 2012 is referring to the date we started that Heart Sutta class. Sister Lee had in the year January 2012 invited Brother Teo to visit Wuping Jingsa Vihara, and it was during this visit that Sister Lee had requested Brother Teo to conduct this weekly Heart Sutta meditation class at Wuping Jingsa Vihara. The first Heart Sutta class meditation commenced on the 12th of February 2012. So this is the date. And it continues until 19th of May 2013 for a period of 15 months. This was then followed by the weekly Satipatthana Sutta meditation class. Initially, short notes were taken by Sister Lee and forwarded to Brad Teo for editing before using it for sharing at the next Heart Sutta meditation class. And this was how the Heart Sutta meditation class's short notes comes about. Many Kayanamita who had attended the classes had found the short notes to be very useful and rather beneficial. Hence, the reason why they had suggested that it be compiled into a book so that it can also benefit others who had the affinity to receive it later. These short notes can also help those of the Theravada tradition to have a better understanding of the Heart Sutta teaching of the Mahayana tradition. Because Brad Teo had managed to link the Heart Sutta teaching to all the various essential Dhamma of the Buddha as recorded in the Theravada tradition, so that Dhamma practitioners and cultivators can have a much better understanding of both traditions' teaching and see clearly how they are related to each other. Brad Teo had also managed to link and explain clearly how all the essential Dhamma of the Buddha as recorded in the Theravada tradition comes about and how they are connected to each other, thereby making it much easier to understand. In fact, the essence of the Buddha's teaching is just the Four Noble Truths, and all of the other teachings, the essential Dhamma, are spin-off from it. It has always been Brother Teo's sincere intention and wish that Dhamma friends, spiritual practitioners, seekers of truth, and cultivators will be able to make use of this enclosed Heart Sutta meditation class's short notes to develop a better and clearer understanding of the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, so that they may progress along the path of Dhamma to become more virtuous and wiser human beings that can be a blessing to all. As these short notes were mainly only important pointers as prepared by Sister Lee for my editing, as such it may not be as complete as compared to the recorded talks. Hence, it's hoped that reader who wants to benefit more will listen to the recording so as to have a clearer and more complete understanding of what has been shared. For those who want to listen to the recording, they can download the talk from our website www.brotherteo.com by clicking onto menu, then the repository, then recordings of classes, then Sunday class Wuping Jingsa, then Heart Sutta, 2012 recording. And the link is as below, https://beltio.com/heartsutra-212/, or via contacting either Brother Chin Hong or Sister Lee or Sui An at their respective email. Then coming to second edition, dated 8th of March 2020. The reason for this second edition was mooted earlier on to coincide with the need for a second reprint of this Heart Sutra book. So at that time, before we actually go ahead with the second reprint, we already planned what we want to do with the second edition. In doing so, we had included the following activities to help improve the readability of this book. Number one, we intend to correct whatever printing error, spelling mistake, or grammar mistake detected in the first edition, which we have done. Then, since the first edition's text was aligned to the colloquial speeches in the talk, some editorial amendment has been made to the text without distracting the essence of the talk. Then number three is very important. Useful subheading has been added to all the Heart Sutra classes listed in the table of content to help readers look for the topic that interests them more easily. Then Appendix 8, Explanation of Avijja Sutta or Sutta on Ignorance has been added. Then Appendix 6a, Trinity to Understand Cultivation has been added. Then Acknowledgement, this one you go back and read. The acknowledgement is the usual one. We acknowledge all those who has helped out in one way or other to make this free distribution of the second edition of the Heart Sutra book possible. And we also thank all those who help in developing the second edition. They are Kayamitas who has helped out a lot. Then all Kayamita also get to partake in the wholesomeness of this, because we only allow Kayamita fund to do this printing. The full cost is footed by our Kayamita fund. So all of us, being Kayamita, we get to partake in this wholesomeness. Shall we rejoice? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So the full cost of printing and distributing this Heart Sutra second edition book for free to those who have the affinity is sponsored by Kayamita Fund. Then you can go through this book. It will benefit you in many great ways. But what I want to point out to you is page 94. Page 94 is the sharing that I delivered at Thursday class. When you understand this, you will understand how to develop the meditation. The other chart that is also connected to this is the Appendix 6A, page 243. You look at 243, is the triangle. So this triangle is what we call the Trinity chart. The Trinity chart has got nothing to do with Christianity. But this Trinity chart is very beautiful, is very clear, and it really teaches you how to develop the training of the mind, the actual understanding of cultivation. So Appendix 6A, the title is Trinity to Understand Cultivation. I will go through page 94 first. So page 94, you saw the four circles. First is the oneness nature, the Buddha nature. Then the second one is your true mind, or the pure awareness, or your silent mind, or your true nature. Then the third circle is the mundane mind. Then the last one is, the fourth circle is the external form, or external phenomena world of consciousness. So external manifestation of mind created via mental consciousness. So to develop the meditation, yeah, you need to understand this chart very clearly. First is from the source, our oneness nature or Buddha nature or our original nature or the true nature. You can call it by various names. Ultimately, it's the unconditioned. That's why it's also Nibbana, the unconditioned. And that is the beginning of all things. That's why Mahayana call it Tan Lai, the Mianmu, original nature. Then other people call it the true nature, the Buddha nature, or the oneness nature. Then the first thing that arise or to come out is our pure awareness or that true mind, our pure mind, which is just aware without thought, because it's the unconditioned, it's just aware. Yeah. If you don't meditate, you can never understand this nature. And if you cannot understand this nature, you cannot meditate. You cannot awaken. Yeah, this is the only instrument that can allow you to see things as they are and awaken without thought. Because it's the unconditioned, it's beyond thought, beyond mind. So the first thing that arises is the silent mind, the pure awareness, just aware. Then from there, all things arise, like the Buddha said, mind is a forerunner of all things. When mind arises, all things arise. So that is the mundane mind. But you need the true mind, the pure awareness, where this is the source. From here, this is consciousness energy in its purest form. And because when we are born into this world, we have a karmic body. From the karmic nature, we come karmically conditional. Then we have a consciousness trapped inside through rebirth consciousness that evolve until there is a consciousness trapped inside our physical body. So this consciousness together with the physical body, they require the life force to animate this into a human being. So this human being, for us, is the human being. For others, is the living being. They could be animal, non-human, or whatever. But for us, is the human being. So this is what the Buddha called the five aggregates of forming mind. First aspect is, as a human being, we have a physical body, then we have a consciousness trapped inside. And this consciousness, the Buddha subdivide into four aspects. The four aspects of consciousness, if you want to know them, is very easy. You just inquire, what can your mind do? Our mind can arise feeling. That's why there's an aggregate of feeling, Vedana. Then our mind can also perceive things through what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think. We can perceive the phenomenal world of consciousness. So the six sense can give rise to six types of respective sense door consciousness. Then each and every of these sense door consciousness, you can perceive whatever you want to perceive. So perception is the second aggregate. Then the third aggregate is our mind can create thinking, thought process. And our mind can also have mental intention, mental emotion, feeling, mental states, and mental formation. So all this is called the content of consciousness, which include the first two, feeling and perception. This content of consciousness is what the Buddha calls Sankara. And this Sankara need a receptacle to carry them. The receptacle is the pure consciousness, Vijnanam. That's why the fourth aggregate of mind is vijnanam. And vijnanam is just consciousness, because our mind can be, our mind is capable of arising consciousness. Our mind can be conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think. So this sixth type of respective consciousness can arise because we have this mundane mind. So the four aggregate of mind, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, and Vijnana, together with the physical body, is the first aspect of our five aggregate of forming mind. And when we understand this, we can put to test the final summary of the First Noble Truth. Why did the Buddha say, in short, it is due to our self-delusion that conditions us to grasp at our five aggregate of forming mind that suffering arises. Upadana khandas is dukkha, the Buddha said. So we can check, if we grasp and attach to this physical body, do we suffer? We surely suffer, isn't it? Why? Because we worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. Because we believe this is real, this is what we are. But if you meditate, then you will come to understand it is not you. It is impermanent. Because it is impermanent, it is non-self, anatta. And because it is impermanent, it is empty. So all this you will come to understand. Then the second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind is the one that the Buddha is more interested in. He said every moment of sense or consciousness, like your seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile and thought consciousness, we have four aggregate of mind, which is Vedana, Sanya, Sankara and Vijnana. But the fifth aggregate, which is the mental form, they also arise the moment we perceive things. So like when you perceive the external world of form, take for example the Buddha image, then that external form will go into the mind through the sanya aggregate, which is perception. That's like perception brings the external form into the mind. So every moment of perception, there is this five aggregate of form and mind. And you attach to them, cling on to them, believing that they are real. Then you will develop attachment, upadana khandas, grasping, clinging. Then it will give rise to suffering. Yeah. So this aspect of the teaching is very important. So from the true mind, then you silence your mind, you will see how all this dependent origination take place. The Buddha's teaching is, he said, everything that arises within the phenomenal world of consciousness, they arise from the mundane mind. And this mundane mind arises through condition. There must be three conditions for it to arise. Even the form of mind, the previous Thursday, the three conditions that animates the human being, you look at the whiteboard. First is the physical body, rupa. Then you have the consciousness, which is trapped in the body, nama. Then you have the life force. The life force is your karmic force that come and pumps your heart and activate your form and mind. That's how you animate into a human being. Then every moment of consciousness, through the sixth sense door, you created the second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind. And that is what you are, and who you are. But this one is not real. This one, if you meditate, you will see clearly is dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena, not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why it is not self. It is non-self. It doesn't mean that there is nothing. There is something. But that something is not permanent. Doesn't belong to you. That's why it is non-self, anatta nature. So this aspect of understanding is what meditation is all about. When you silence your mind through the silent mind or the meditative mind or your true mind, when you realize that, stabilize it, then you can see how the mundane mind create. How from the mundane mind, the delusion set in. Then you look at the rectangle below the mundane mind. Yeah? The knower becomes the living being. And that is the five aggregate of form and mind. So this living being becomes the traveler in space and time via karma. So law of karma created this five aggregate of form and mind, karmically conditioned out vehicle and tool for you to come to this universe. Without the five aggregate of form and mind, you cannot come. And without the five aggregate of form and mind, you cannot connect to your true mind. You cannot realize your true nature. You cannot realize the unconditioned, the enlightenment, your oneness nature, your Buddha nature. So all this you will see clearly in the meditation. Then how the mundane mind following the dwelling of paticca samuppada, dependent originating, how all the link created the manifestation of mundane mind. So this mundane mind is the one that created the external phenomenal world of consciousness and also the external form. So when you know how you come and how you get lost through the creation, so to meditate is to realize this wisdom and reverse all these things. That's why you look at page 94, the second paragraph. Return all external form or manifestation created by mind to mental consciousness. Means all the external manifestation creation through your seeing consciousness, hearing, smell, taste, tactile and thought consciousness, you have to seize them, return them to your mundane mind. Then this mundane mind, if you seize them, you will realize the true mind, the pure awareness. Then you realize that creation which started from the true mind is actually reversible to an understanding, to the meditative understanding. So when you see clearly that everything is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon, then you will understand why the Diamond Sutta, the famous stanza, the four verse stanza, 一切有为法，如梦幻泡影，如露亦如电，应作如是观. So when you awaken, you will understand it profoundly and deeply. The meaning is, 一切有为法 means, everything is condition arising Dhamma. Yeah. Condition arising Dhamma. The whole universe. Because we live in the existential world. Then they are dreamlike. Zhu Meng. Huan is illusion. Pao is bubble. Ying is shadow. Then this phenomenal world of consciousness created by the mundane mind, they are not only dependent originating, because they are dependent originating, you have the wisdom to see it clearly that they are not real. They are impermanent, lead to suffering when you attach and cling. And because they are impermanent, it is non-self. It does not belong to you. And because it is non-self, everything is dependent originating, condition arising, cause of no, there is no reality, there's an empty nature of existence. So this is how meditation gives rise to understanding. And through this, you will awaken. Then you realize everything we come to experience in this universe is just a phenomenal world of consciousness. It's dreamlike. It's like at night when you sleep, you develop a dream. How real is the dream? The dream is mind-made, isn't it? conscious and subconscious release and the unconscious release, isn't it? That's why it's dreamlike. Then it's an illusion. We are like the Buddha say, the analogy for the five aggregate. The last aggregate, consciousness, he say, is like a magician, illusionist, create illusion for you to see. That's why all your seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile, and thought consciousness, do you think they are real? They are not real. They come and they go. That's why it's an illusion. Illusion means like a magician, create illusion for you to see. That's why sometimes the magician is called the illusionist. So this illusionary world is also dreamlike. Then they arise and pass away. That's why it's like a bubble. Pop, gone. Pop, gone. Then it's like shadow. Appear real, but you cannot catch it. Understand? Shadow means what? Keep on following you. Oh, they keep on arising. But you cannot catch them. No reality. Then after that, the third stanza is, they are dew light and a lightning flash. How stable is the morning dew? Yeah? When the morning sun arises, not long, it will evaporate, isn't it? That's why it's lu. Lu is dew. Yi lu tian, like a lightning flash, is gone. You should contemplate it thus. Yin zuo lu shi quan. So when you contemplate it thus to stabilize your wisdom, then you will understand it deeply. Then you are not deluded by the phenomenal world of consciousness. Then it has no power over you. That's why the whole phenomenal world of consciousness, the world of form, the world of mind, they will collapse in front of you. They have no power over you because you understand, finally, they are not real. They are illusionary, impermanent. They follow nature's law, dependent originating. You grasp and cling, you suffer. You get yourself entangled. It is a delusion. And because they are impermanent, it is non-self. And because it's non-self, it is empty, not what you think. No being behind. He no you, he no me. That's why under the Heart Sutta I say, when you realize true emptiness, in true emptiness, all this don't exist. That is the deep meaning behind. So once you understand this, you will know how to develop the meditation. Then turn to page 243. Then I will explain this triangle and you will know how to meditate. You remember what I tell you? What is the first thing to come out from the oneness nature? Your pure nature. Your Buddha nature. What is the first thing that come out? The true mind, yes. You better understand this. You don't understand this, then you cannot understand the triangle. So the pure awareness, which is the true mind or the silent mind, is the first thing to come out. And that is your awareness nature. It's just a nature and a sana. There is no thought behind. It's the unconditioned. So it's not a being. It cannot come out and live life. So this pure awareness is connected to our nature. When your mind don't think, when there is no more thinking or mundane mind, then that true mind surface. But that is the essence of mind. It is there all the time. You are not able to be aware of it because you are lost in thought. You are lost in the creation. You are distracted by the mundane mind. And you believe the mundane mind is you. That's why you think you are the knower. Understand? You are the knower. That's how the Sakkayaditi set in. Then the form and mind become the traveler in space and time, conditioned by karma. That's why birth and death continue through the delusion. So when you understand that, you look at that C up there, yeah? The triangle above. C is your pure awareness or pure consciousness before the content goes in. So it come out from the oneness nature. Okay? This is the first thing that come out. Then from there, it is just aware. And we call it the essence of mind, your true nature or your original nature. And this is the unconditioned, which is beyond thought, beyond mind. Yeah? And also beyond time. And this one cannot be perceived or sensed because there is no mind involved. This one is just stillness. Complete tranquility, stillness. The silent mind, your meditative mind. So from this pure awareness, this true nature, true mind, you start to live life. To live life, you follow the arrow downward to the S, towards the right. So that one is to create mundane living or experiences. You understand it like the physics experiment. With the pure awareness, the S is the sense basis. Upon contact with the sense basis and the sense data, it trigger of what? The respective consciousness, isn't it? Because you have the six senses, six sense basis. So the mundane thinking mind is your mundane consciousness. And this is where the physical body is. And this is where the human being is, the five aggregate of form and mind. So mundane living at the senses is the first aspect of using that pure awareness. That's why human beings, since birth until now, you have been using this for mundane living. And this is what the five aggregate of form and mind is all about. And this is where the paticca samuppada, dependent origination leading to karma, everything manifests. And birth and death, samsara. Whereas the other direction from C to U, that is for meditation. When you silence your mind without thought, the pure awareness is capable of direct seeing. That's why I put there the silent mind via is direct seeing, eh? Or via sati, or the pure awareness. So this direct seeing via your sati or mindfulness or your pure awareness without thought is meditation. When you do that, you can see things as they are. Then you awaken. When you awaken, you develop the understanding, you. Wisdom born of right view, samadhi. And when you reflect and contemplate, and also through hearing the Dhamma, you develop the initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara. So this C to you is meditation. That's why you need the pure awareness, the silent mind. Not through the consciousness. The awareness see the other direction. Your pure awareness through the direct seeing see how that pure awareness can also create mundane consciousness and lead to mundane living. Then when you develop this understanding, which is wisdom, and this is connected to the mundane mind, because you have the five aggregate of form and mind. And the wisdom which you awaken through the meditation is connected to this five aggregate of form and mind, or for our case, it's a human being. And because of that, this mundane mind or the human being is no longer deluded. Do you understand? That's why it cannot suffer. And you can say, this one is enlightened, but this one is not you. Because this one is impermanent, dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomenon. And this understanding is very important. That's why the enlightened one will know that form and mind is not him or her. But it is a karmically conditioned form and mind for the individual to come, to live life, to cultivate, to develop the perfection and the experiences, and also to experience karma, everything. Then it will know that this form and mind, the five degree is subject to karma. And because it's subject to karma, he know through wisdom that you have to develop your right duty in accordance with the law of karma. You cannot simply do things. That's why the enlightened disciple of the Buddha has got four great qualities. The first one is of right conduct. It's the order of the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. Then second one is upright conduct. Third one is wise conduct. And the fourth one is of dutiful conduct. They do their duty. And that is the quality you must have in order to become enlightened. So because of the wisdom, it is no longer deluded. It will know how to do its duty. It will know how to actually resolve all issues amicably. That's why no more suffering. That's how the whole meditation is to be understood. And when you understand these two, you can meditate very easily. Okay? Then you go back and read Training of the Mind. Appendix 6 is very good. What is a trained mind? Maybe I read through this first part. A trained mind is always silent, heedful, peaceful, relaxed, and naturally aware within. Are you able to have this mind? If you cannot have this mind, means you have not trained your mind. And the uniqueness of a trained mind is very simple. It is silent without thought. It is just aware. Constantly aware, ever mindful. That's why it's heedful. And because it is silent, it is peaceful. Then it is naturally relaxed because it is without stress. And because it's relaxed, it also has the ability to maintain awareness. It's just aware, that true nature, that true mind. Nothing else. Then it has the clarity born of inner peace and inner awareness to see things as they are, leading to the wisdom needed to arise the wise attention or yoniso manasikara at every moment of sense experience, so that one is always at peace with the moment to live life. So this aspect is a natural consequence. When you have trained your mind, then you will have clarity and you can meditate. That's why you can see things as they are, to awaken, to develop the wisdom that you need to use to live life. Every moment of sense or consciousness, without wisdom, you will get yourself into trouble. Then the trained mind will listen to you. If you want it to be silent, it will just be silent, peaceful and aware. It will just be so. Then number four, you can use it and direct it appropriately to cultivate noble eightfold path, leading to heedfulness. It will become like a servant to you. It serves you well. A trained mind is ever mindful, constantly meditative, and is the base from which wisdom keep on arising. Then, next page. The opposite one is the untrained mind. What is the untrained mind? Now you have to learn to understand this. Otherwise, you don't know what is the untrained mind. An untrained mind is heedless. Heedless means what? It thinks a lot and reacts easily to sense experience, and is constantly lost in thought most of the time. And as per Dhammapada verse 21, the heedless are as if dead. So this is very clear. So never, never become heedless. Then it is also like a devil's workshop. Devil is an evil being. And it will make you very evil. And you have no control over that mind. It actually controls you and takes over your life, causing you suffering, deceiving you into attachment, craving, clinging, and grasping, which is the cause of all suffering. Then the thinking mind, the mundane mind, which is heedless, need to be trained. Deluded with wrong view, it easily become angry, selfish, emotional, and fearful, hence the suffering. This one, by now you should be able to see very clearly. Because when you are deluded without the Dhamma, when you have not developed the right view, you have a lot of wrong view. And because of that, you easily stir your mind, react to sense experience, become angry, selfish, emotional, and fearful, hence the suffering. It has no understanding of what is going on in life because it's deluded. It lacks wisdom because it is really, really deluded. Then 6.3 is very important, training the mind. Without wisdom, living beings are heedless. Hence, they suffer because they don't understand life. To understand life, one must understand the secret of life, which is the Four Noble Truths, as taught by Lord Buddha. To understand the Four Noble Truths, one must train one's mind to be heedful, to understand what is going on in life, so as to understand who we are, what we are, and how our mind functions, so that we can understand what causes us suffering, and how our deluded mundane mind get muddled up in life. This is real meditation. That's why the true mind, the pure awareness, true direct seeing, pure observation, can awaken. The untrained mind is heedless and not peaceful because of the five mental hindrances of sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness and doubt. These mental hindrances will hinder one from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner awareness. And to overcome the five mental hindrances, one only need to cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculties of Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi and Panya, as taught by the Buddha. When the five spiritual faculties are there, the mental hindrance will be gone and the mind will be trained automatically. That is why you should work on the cultivation of the five spiritual faculties via your puja, devotional practice, and daily religious routine to develop the daily mindfulness. Then the rest you can go and read about it. The three phases of Dhamma, how it's connected to the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, and how the three types of corresponding wisdom come about. The importance of sati, important advice to meditator, all this, you should go back and read. Even 6.5 repeated, there is a slight numbering mistake there. Using the silent mind, this one is also very important. Maybe I read through 6.5. Don't try to know anything during meditation. Just silence the mind and let things be. The understanding will arise on its own. The moment you are truly silent and relaxed, sati is already there. This is the silent mind that can investigate into all phenomena and let the phenomena tell you the story. Don't go and look for the story with your thought and Dhamma knowledge. The pitfall of thought-based meditation is one is limited by the instrument that one uses to develop the meditation. Hence, their inability to realize the enlightenment which is beyond thought and beyond mind. One needs to inquire deeply to find out for oneself who is the meditator. If it is the thought which is actively doing all the noting, labeling, chattering and trying to describe the Dhamma and trying to develop the meditation, then that is not the silent mind. The real Dhamma can only be realized when you are truly silent. So all this points towards very clear understanding why thought-based meditation cannot develop the awakening. Then using the silent mind. When your mind is silent without thought, you will understand everything that is going on within your five aggregates of form and mind. And you will awaken to the three universal characteristics of impermanent, anicca, dukkha, and anatta. You will understand how upon contact, consciousness come to be. And then how within the content of consciousness, you will see how your mind stir after you input your mental intention, born of your wrong view. Then how upon contact the seven universal, which are common to all consciousness, arises simultaneously. The feeling part, you will feel it clearly, and you will understand how upon contact feeling arise. But because you don't have wisdom, and you lack yoniso manasikara, or wise attention at the moment of sense experience, feeling will immediately be conditioned into craving. Hence, without wisdom or yoniso manasikara, you cannot cut a feeling. You will see all this within your meditation, and that is the real direct seeing. That is how you will come to understand clearly that this conditioned arising mind, the mundane mind, the stirring of the mind, and the reactive mind are not your true mind. They arise because of your wrong view. Then the Four Noble Truths one by one will become clear to you. You will come to understand them. You will come to understand the reality of life and existence, what is suffering and the cause behind its arising. Then the seven universal mental factors, they are described down there, both the Pali term and the English term. They are called cetasikas. First is contact, pasat. Then second is feeling, vedana. Then sanya, perception. Then mental volition or mental intention. Then ekagata is one-pointedness. Then jivi, indriya, life faculties. Number seven is manasikara or attention. So all these are the seven universal content of consciousness or cetasikas that are common to all consciousness. All consciousness must have these seven, otherwise they cannot arise. And these seven arise simultaneously. In the meditation you can see them. Then five ways to overcome unwholesome thought, all those things you go and read. So I finish this book. So this book, the most important one is what I have described to you to understand meditation. And this one I supposed to teach you at the retreat, but now I teach it at the Tuesday and Thursday class. So you can go and listen to this recording again, and it will help you a lot. And when you understand this, you will understand how to develop the meditation. Okay, any question? Do you have any question? Is it clear? Anybody has any question? Or is there anything that you want to clarify? Don't have? Okay, then we continue from where we stopped the book. The Buddha and his teaching. Page 663. Okay? This green book, The Buddha and His Teaching by Venerable Narada. So we are at page 663, we are almost finishing. Okay. You remember we were at the last paragraph of this page 663. How did man originate? So last Tuesday I have given some formal explanation from this sutta. We try to read through what the author says. Either there must be a beginning for man, or there cannot be a beginning. Those who belong to the first school postulate a first cause, whether as a cosmic force or as an almighty being. Those who belong to the second school deny a first cause, for in common experience, the cause ever becomes the effect, and the effect become the cause. In a circle of cause and effect, a first cause is inconceivable. According to the former life has had a beginning, while according to the latter it is beginningless. In the opinion of some, the conception of a first cause is as ridiculous as a round triangle. This is the author's thinking. So we maintain an open mind first, then we find out. According to scientific standpoint, man is the direct product of sperm and ovum cells provided by their parents. Scientists were asserting, wow, this scientific word very difficult to understand. Omne vivim ex vivo. All life from life maintain that mind and life evolve from the lifeless. Oh, I also don't know what he's trying to explain to us. Never mind, we read on. Now, from the scientific standpoint, man is obviously parent-born. As such, life precedes life. With regards to the origin of the first protoplasm of life, or colloid, whichever we are pleased to call it, the word R is missing. Scientists play ignorant. According to Buddhism, man is born from the matrix of action, karma yoni. Parent merely provides man with the material layer. As such, being precedes being. At the moment of conception, it is karma that conditions the initial consciousness that vitalizes the fetus. Is the inevitable karmic force generated from the past birth that produces mental phenomena and the phenomena of life in an already extant physical phenomena to complete the trio that constitute man. So the trio here means the three conditions, like I explained last Tuesday on the whiteboard. You must have a physical body, you must have a consciousness. So that consciousness is actually the rebirth consciousness. Then it evolves because it's trapped in the physical body. And over time, it becomes more and more complicated. Then it becomes a bundle of memories with its views, opinion, and conditioning, and also belief system and all those things. The memory is your experiences, good and bad. Accumulation of all your life experiences. So it will carry all your experiences, good or bad. Bad is your phobia, your fear, your insecurity, your sadness, your sorrow, your lamentation, your misery, and all those things which you carry them. Of course, you have happy moments too, your good experiences, of good time and all those things. But all this is what memory is all about. And memory will condition the collective consciousness that is trapped inside your physical body. So that consciousness is actually very complex, very complicated. Before you awaken, before that form of mind awaken, that form of mind, the bundle of memories, with its views, opinion, and condition, is full of wrong view, full of delusion. That's why human beings suffer. Human being has a lot of problem. So this author, he mentioned karma yoni, which is correct. Means, according to Buddhism, man is born from the matrix of their past action. That's why the Buddha said, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. Then he also knew that the husband and the wife, or the sperm and the ovum, that give rise to the birth of the fetus, all this is only the physical aspect. But the actual potent one is karmic. That's why your DNA coding everything, what type of parent you're supposed to have and how their DNA is like, is all conditioned by karma. So that one you cannot choose. Then everyone is different. You may be born from the same parent, even identical twins, or twins, or even quartet or what. They are all different. Physically, appearances may look quite alike. We are subdivided from the same cells, the sperm and the ovum. But, karmically, everyone is different. That's why you can see each and everyone is different. Yeah. So understanding karma is very important. But like the Buddha said, karma is the most complex thing in this universe. It is beyond many living beings. Only the fully enlightened or the great beings can have the full understanding. Because this law of karma is very, very complicated. The Buddha said it's very complex. That's the reason why he always said, when people ask him about the beginning of life, how many of you heard of the Buddha's explanation? He used the word what? Just now the author mentioned. Inconceivable is the beginning of the first thought or ignorant that conditioned birth and death. He said, don't waste time on that. Because it's inconceivable. Unless you are Sammasambuddha, you can never understand. Because that is the primordial darkness. The first thought of ignorance that stirs the primordial nature. And it created the first thought of ignorance. You remember? Last time I spoke about from zero come, one. From one come, infinity. You know what is the one or not? The first thought of ignorance. And you can also call it the one Dhamma. Then from that one Dhamma, it conditions infinity of Dhamma. The my right Dhamma. That's why from zero come one, then one come infinity. That's how human creation comes about. That's why the birth and death of the segmented body of each and every living being. Limitless, countless. Billions and billions and billions. And yet, none of them is you. All of them are non-self, not you. They are your segmented life through karmic conditioning, birth and death. But they are all dependent originating, condition arising, no reality. That's why none of them is you. Even this life, you may think, this form of mind is you. But what happens when your breath stops? Your identity erased. Then who are you? What are you? Did you die? The question is, who died? What died? When you meditate, you understand. Technically, I use the word technically, when you have the wisdom, you can see clearly, no one died. That's why the Buddha, together with Kuan Yin in the Heart Sutta, say, in true emptiness, there is no birth, no old age, sickness and death. No one born, no one die, no one attain. No mark of a self, no mark of Dhamma, no mark of life. Even the Four Noble Truths also don't exist. Because within the unconditioned, all these things doesn't exist. Four Noble Truths, all is sickness and death, all this exists only within the conditioned world. Samsara. And when we are born into samsara, all these are real. As real as they can be, it's only within the moment. That's why you have to see we are the direct seeing to awaken to that wisdom. As real as it can be, is only within that moment. Split second is dead and gone. Split second is dead and gone. And that is the only reality in life, the present moment. So how real can life be? Because we have already, through our understanding, we already developed ability to see this clearly. The whole of life or existence can be translated into time, isn't it? To exist is to go through time, isn't it? So time can be define clearly the three periods of time. True or not? Past, present, and future. That is the whole spectrum of time. And that is what life is all about. Well, life is about existing. When you exist, you are living life. True or not? That's why you have your past, you have your present, and you have your future. Of these three, the whole spectrum of time, which is the reality? Past is already gone, no more reality. True or not? Future yet to come, also no more a reality. So the only reality is the present moment, the here and the now, where everything arises and pass away. And this present moment is so transient. The moment you talk about it is gone, dead and gone. There's a moment to moment life passes by. What are you doing? If you cannot see this, you are not meditating. If you can see this, then you are meditating. And this is the highest in life, the present moment. That's why everybody trying to teach the present moment awareness. But how many really understand? And if present moment is the only reality, then you ask yourself, moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? Ask yourself. Silence your mind and find out. Every moment, what are you doing? Most people who don't have the training of the mind, mindfulness and awareness, what are they doing? They are heedlessly thinking, isn't it? Planning and worrying about life, isn't it? They are so busy thinking, planning and worrying about life, so much so, they never leave. That's why they are heedless. And the heedless are as if dead, where you never leave life. And what is living life? Living life means to be in the moment without thought, to experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life. Within that moment without thought, everything is so pristine, so beautiful. And have you really silenced your mind to experience that? That's why in the Zen tradition, they say drinking a cup of Chinese tea with full awareness without thought is Zazen, meditation. When you are fully aware within the moment without thought, what happened to you? Without thought, there is no fear, right? No worry, no anxiety, right? No thinking. Right? Then, what happened to your mind state? You are at peace. Your mind is tranquil, still, without thought. Then that awareness is so beautiful, so pristine. Every moment is so pristine, so meaningful, so beautiful, so wonderful. Then when you really drink, every moment of taste is fully conscious. Most of the time, human being, you go and check. When you eat your food and when you drink something, you never really drink. You think a lot. As you eat, as you chew, you think. Because that sensation stir your mind and take you away. Then you are lost in that description of what you eat and what you drink, where you are not silently experiencing it. When you really chew, mindfully chew, you go and find out. Finally, what happened? Even the white rice becomes sweet. And that sweet is a new type of sweet, which is not from memory. Do you understand? The moment you recall through memory, do you know what is happening or not? You are not tasting that thing already. Like this microphone. The moment you label it as microphone, you are not seeing this thing. When you really see, there is no word, there is no concept. Do you understand? When you really see, now see. Because when you have the word, the concept, microphone, you think you already know what this is, but you never look at the whole thing. Do Do you understand? When you cannot see, you are not observant. Do you understand? Because the image, the word, distracted you. Microphone. Finish. Yeah, microphone. But do you know enlightened being how they see? When I see the whole thing without the word, without the concept. That's why when I see, everything is pristine. I don't go and compare to memory. Ayo, this microphone, not so high quality, not so nicely manufactured or developed. All these are the thought proliferating. But when you really see with a silent mind without the words, you observe this whole thing as it is. Do you understand? You see things as they are. Like the art. No word, nothing. Just the pure seeing, like the baby. But of course, to live life, you need to use word. You need to use concept. You need to communicate with people. That's why you can also be in the state of living life, like the three types of seeing, seeing the mountain. The first seeing is mundane seeing, with the word, with the concept. People say there is mountain. Yeah, mountain. But the one that has the enlightenment with the direct seeing, when they see, there is no mountain. Why? Well, no word, no concept. What they see is the direct seeing, the pure awareness. That's why the second seeing is direct seeing. No, wait. There is no concept, no words. That's why this direct seeing is enlightenment seeing. And the enlightened one can understand. That's why they accept. Yeah, no mountain. They agree. But the third level of seeing is the most beautiful. Yeah. The third level of seeing is suchness seeing. Yeah. Kan san, yu si san. When you see that mountain, again, they say it's mountain. Yeah, it's mountain. When you say, the enlightened one say, no mountain. Yeah, no mountain. Means what? They have echoed and flow. Suchness seeing. No more word, no more concept. No more relative description. So that third level of seeing is what the direct seeing is all about. Means, people may say microphone or whatever in whatever language, they can understand. They can accept the reality. But the one that is enlightened when they see is without the word. That's why they see truth. They see reality. Without words. This is what the seeing is all about. You want to ask something?
Oh, it's
yeah.
Regarding the analogy of the microphone.
Yeah.
It's like the I tried to share that when you say microphone, you'll see the whole thing as one thing.
Yeah.
But it's actually made up of a lot of things. How did the microphone come about? There's a lot of story within that. The constituent parts. It's like when a Buddha described a bullock cart, you take everything apart. It's no longer a bullock cart. It's a piece of wood. It's a piece of cloth. It's a carved in a shape with spokes and so. And the microphone itself, you take it all apart, it's no longer a microphone. When you put it all together, it becomes a microphone. But also, who decided to put all these things together in this shape and form? The history that came along with it, electricity had to be formed, and then the concept of sound waves traveling through the copper wires, all these make a microphone what it is.
Yeah.
And what a microphone is to us now might not be the same thing next decade. It's it's a state of flux. It keeps changing. What we think as a microphone today, like what a phone was 10 years ago is a brick. Yeah. What a phone now is a thin piece of screen. It keeps changing. So it's
evolving,
like our when we stop seeing it for what it's made up of, then that's when we don't really see it and appreciate it.
That is the other aspect. The other aspect of seeing when you understand condition. Everything is dependent, originating, condition arising, causal phenomena. So whatever that arise, the Buddha say, there are causes and condition behind. You remember? So how did the bullock cart arise? That one is very important. The Buddha asked the monk, what is that? He pointed to the block card. The monk all answered, block card. Okay, block card. Is it real? He said, yes, it's real. Then he said, take the wheel apart. Take the axle apart. Take everything apart. Then put them on the ground. Then the Buddha asked, what do you see? No more block card. Then he said, assemble them back. Then arise ready, block card. Do you know what the Buddha is trying to explain to them or not? He said, your mental perception and creation is exactly the same. Externally, the block card is condition arising. Understand? Without the parts coming together, it doesn't exist. So it's already unreal, understand? Yeah, this is dependent originating. When the condition come together, when the parts come together, like my daughter say, when you have the carpenter or whatever to do up all the parts, then you put them all together, then it perform a function. That word is very important. And then you created a concept and a word, bulokka, exists already. So externally, already not real, isn't it? Because it's condition arising. Yeah? Without condition, it doesn't exist, isn't it? When condition come together, it exists. That is a very important part. So if it externally already impermanent, not real, then how do you know it's a blockade? Through your mental? Mental what? You have to perceive it there. And how do you perceive it? An image of the brain here, laterally inverted. You know physics, isn't it? Through your seeing consciousness, inverted. Just an image. How real can that image be? Do you understand? Externally already unreal, when you perceive it through the mundane mind, which is just an image of your brain, it is even more unreal, isn't it? Then why do you cling on to it, grasp on to it, and believe that it's real? That's how the Buddha teach. That's how the Buddha make you awaken. Everything is not what you think. Even your physical body and mind, the three conditions. Any of the conditions no more, you cease to be. That's why no one die.
Something else to add to the image in the mind, right? Why it's very different, right? It's like, for example, if that microphone, I donated it, I sponsored it, and then that is the microphone I have in mind, the brand new one come out from the box in my mind. After 1 day, 2 days, someone scratched it, someone found that it stopped working, someone threw it away by accident, right? I keep thinking that new one I just bought that cost $300 from the box, brand new. Now, I got one scratch. I don't see that anymore. I still see the one that's... I cling to the brand new image in my mind.
Yeah, you think you own.
I cannot accept the broken one that is in front of me now. Correct. I keep thinking that picture in my mind, the perfect one, I want that back.
So that's how the attachment through delusion comes about. Because even though you paid for it, Anasana, then you think you own. These are conditions. Our society recognizes that. That's why it has the condition for you to own. Then you donated it, like my daughter say. Donated it means what? No more yours. But still you cling. No? Like she said, somebody scratched it. Ayo, this microphone. I bought new one, perfect. Now scratch already. Then somebody abuse it. Ayo, spoil already. But is it real? That is the question. If it's not real, means what? It goes the way of nature, like this physical body, anasana. It is subject to old age, sickness and death. Finally, it will disperse. When the condition ceases to be, it ceases to be. You can never own anything. That is the fourth daily contemplation. Remember? Whatever you think you own, your possession, your wealth, your whatever things that you hold on to dearly, your reputation or whatever, they were separate from you one day. When conditions cease to be, they cease to be. All this arise through condition. when condition is there, it's like you own them, you have them. But finally, the Buddha say, it's either they separate from you or you separate from them. When your breath stops, you cannot own anything here. That's why you separate from them. When condition is no more yours, like during financial crisis, or stolen by people, or destroyed by flood or fire or whatever, then it's gone. Means your breath is still there, your identity is still there, but you cannot own them anymore. Where they are condition arising, phenomena, entity, not real. Doesn't belong to anything, anybody. Like the Buddha say, this only the fool's lament, for that very body also don't belong to him. Wherein son, wherein well. Where he say only foolish people think that this is my son, this are my property, my wealth and all those things. The fools will lament. They will become affected or afflicted when this thing doesn't go their way or get destroyed or stolen or whatever. So separation is a reality. The Buddha teach you how to contemplate. Whatever you may own or hold on to dearly, they will separate from you. So reflect, contemplate, and understand that they are not real, impermanent. You attach and cling, it leads to suffering. Then you will not be afflicted when the time comes. Yes.
I notice I suffer the most when I try to compare the image to the real thing.
Yeah.
When we hold on to that image of that brand new one, and when we look at the real one, when we keep them side by side, and we keep clinging back to that impression we had on that moment, if we hold on to that moment in the past, and we compare it, keep comparing to the current situation, that's when we suffer the most.
Correct.
If we forget about the past and just look at it now, then
that's
we won't suffer so much.
Krishnamurti got a very good saying. You shouldn't compare. Comparison to him is the cause of your misery. He also used another word, measurement. When you start to measure, is to compare. It will bring about suffering and misery to you. Why must you compare? Why can't you be contented with whatever you are, whatever you have? Condition like that, things be like that. That's why contentment is the highest wealth. If you don't have contentment, you can be very wealthy, very rich. You still have craving. You still want. You are not contented. That's why you are still poor. Okay? Okay, we better end. I heard the alarm long ago. Sadhu. So now we will do the sharing of merits. Oh, never mind. 7 minutes only, not too long. Oh, I'll have to go back earlier. tomorrow, no more freedom. But tomorrow, a lot of people not working, eh? Like Polly and they have a lot of time to sleep. 12 o'clock shutdown. You better. We better go, Akasatta Chu Bumata Devanaga Mahindika. Punyang tang anamoditwa jirang rakan tu loka sasana etta wata camehi dan punya sampadan sabbe deva anamodantu sabba sampati sidiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo deo satu kalena sasa sampati heto ce vito bawatu loko ce raja bawatu dhammiko imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to the worthy ones. Then we end. Sadhu. So next 2 weeks, we take a break. No more class. Then we see how things develop.